Folks, there are 5 weeks left in 2012, and we're $63,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012. I don't know why I'm amazed. I probably should stop being amazed at these kind of things. Stop being shocked. Stop being surprised. But still, I am. This is from the Los Angeles Times. And the lead to the story says, doctors should give underage teenagers prescriptions for emergency contraceptives, such as Plan B, before they start having sex, instead of waiting until a young patient's Plan A goes awry, says the American Academy of Pediatrics in a new policy statement. Now, that surprises me. I don't know if it should, but it does. So our pediatricians are saying Plan B should be prescribed as emergency contraception to young women before they start having sex in order to lower the teen pregnancy rate, which is relatively high for the developed world here in the U.S. Greetings and welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of November. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us to respond to that headline and to that move, that policy shift by the American Academy of Pediatricians. And then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll talk about the birth of John the Baptist foretold. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing okay. A little shocked, a little surprised. Of course, the teen pregnancy rate in the U.S. is relatively high relative to other developed countries. But is the teen pregnancy rate so high because we failed to prescribe emergency contraception to underage teens?
Well, you know, Todd, the American Academy of Pediatrics would be on stronger ground if they actually looked at the research in this area. I'm looking at a summary of studies from Scotland, from China, from the San Francisco Bay Area, from Washington State, from England. What the evidence shows is that making emergency contraception available does not, as a matter of public health, reduce the overall pregnancy rate or abortion rate. And you might think that's surprising, but the issue is that people's behavior changes, people's sexual behavior changes. Evidently, this is what's going on. Women don't use it often enough or fast enough or whatever. But, you know, we've got 10 years worth of studies here that are showing in country after country no measurable result from making emergency contraceptive more widely available. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about programs where they make sure women actually have it in their pockets, you know, at their house, you know, or that people have a prescription or people are given information about where to get it. They've studied the various different ways of increasing access to emergency contraception. And, you know, oddly enough, study after study is showing that it doesn't reduce the overall abortion rate or teen pregnancy rate. So, I have issues with the American Academy of Pediatrics. They're not looking at the data.
I'm a simple guy, okay? And to me, it seems to me that the direct cause of a relatively high teen pregnancy rate in the U.S. is that teens are having sex. That seems to be the direct cause of it.
Todd, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Kids are getting pregnant because they're having sex? You mean these are not all IVF babies? What are you telling me? Oh, my gosh.
Again,
I'm
a simple guy.
You are a simple guy. Simple concepts for simple minds here. Okay, So we have a lot of pregnancies. You're thinking that has something to do with the amount of sex they're having. Okay, let's go with this, Todd. This is quite a concept.
Well, if that's true, laying aside the issue of emergency contraception, let's just talk about, you know, really, if I'm right, and I mean, just on a outside possibility that having sex has something to do with getting pregnant, what would be a better public policy solution to this?
Well, you know, I'm thinking we should get Mayor Bloomberg on this job, because you remember he outlawed sodas over 16 ounces in size being sold at the 7-Eleven or whatever, because he thought there was a public health implication of that. So why don't we get Mayor Bloomberg to come up with some kind of public information campaign telling kids that sex makes babies and that it would really be smart to postpone their sexual activity? What do you say?
I have a feeling, however, he would try and do something retroactive like, I mean, he wouldn't do this if you drank a 60-ounce soda. He wouldn't say, here's a place where you can have your stomach pump. But he would say, we need to increase access to female reproductive health, which is, I think, code for emergency contraception and abortion.
Right. And just regular contraception, Plan A type of contraception. You know, the thing that people don't seem to want to deal with about this is that pregnancy is not a disease. Pregnancy is not some outrageously unlikely thing that just strikes people out of the blue and that you need to defend yourself against. As you say, pregnancy comes from having sex. And so the context in which you have sex is extremely important, right? So we don't have any sense of the idea that you need to choose your partner carefully, you need to choose your age carefully. We have this idea that sexual activity itself is the entitlement, and so what we must somehow do is eliminate the unwanted side effects of sexual activity. But the fact is, pregnancy is a natural result of sexual activity, and there's nothing dangerous or sickly or diseased about either one of those things. It means your body is working correctly if you have sex and then get pregnant. You know, that's normal. And the chemicals that we're talking about here, Todd, the artificial hormones that we're talking about, this is not a small thing that we're pumping into our body. You know, we're talking about large doses of hormones that interfere with natural processes. And, you know, whether it's contraceptive, regular contraception or emergency contraception, all of the different things that we're doing to our bodies to more or less trick out the body, you know, to fool the body into thinking something else is going on. You know, we're not really asking, is this really good for women, or is this some kind of chemical assault on the woman's body and her fertility? I mean, that's what bothers me about this, is the idea that we're allowed to just, you know, if we just give pills to people, if we just give you know, some kind of medical intervention, we can put a stop to all this. And really, it's much more complex for that, physiologically as well as socially.
I might be wrong on this, but I seem to remember having a conversation when the issue wasn't giving Plan B to teenage girls, early teenage girls here, as it is in this present conversation, but whether or not Plan B should be given to any woman because of that very issue. It had been tested before being approved by the FDA on women, but not on girls, not on early teens.
Oh, you know something? That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that question, Todd. And the source that I have in front of me right here doesn't address that. It's just addressing the unintended pregnancy, whether it actually works or not. So I don't know. You might be right about that.
Okay,
but you know, I do know one thing. Let me tell you one thing though. That you know, I'm a postmenopausal woman, and a few years ago, my doctor quit giving me hormone replacement therapy because some study had come out saying that there were all sorts of terrible health risks associated with this hormone replacement therapy. And I'm like, okay, whatever, doc, you know. So I have hot flashes. You know, I've been having hot flashes for 10 years, you know, because the doctor won't give me this medication. But if you look at what's in these medications, it's the same stuff that's in hormonal contraceptive. So why is it that the risk to me as a postmenopausal woman, why are we taking that more seriously than we're taking the risks associated with the very same kind of chemicals and artificial hormones to younger women in the peak of their childbearing years? This just seems to me to be completely skewed and twisted. And the only explanation for it is that we're so committed to the idea that sex is normatively a sterile activity that we're willing to put ourselves through just about anything to make it happen, or to at least create the illusion that it can happen. Because, of course, the whole premise of emergency contraception is that people are not going to use contraception consistently and accurately. And so, therefore, you have to have a backup plan. But if you admit that people aren't using contraception accurately and consistently, then you have to question the whole premise of whether it's really okay to send kids out there with pills and rubbers and say, go have a good time, just be safe, you know. That there's something flawed about the whole premise of the thing, and that we're trying to create a social system around a set of premises that really are not true. You know, it's just not true that you can prevent all pregnancies, and that therefore you can act as if you have perfectly functioning contraception all the time.
With only about 30 seconds here, had you been asked to comment on the story about the American Academy of Pediatricians and their recommendation? Give me your soundbite. What would you have wanted quoted in the paper?
That I wish the American Academy of Pediatrics had looked more closely at the research, because the research shows quite consistently that there is no impact of emergency contraception being more available and a reduction in teen pregnancy or abortions. This is a completely bogus correlation.
Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You'll find a link to the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we've got a Sunday school lesson ahead with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We're going to be talking to him about the birth of John the Baptist foretold. This brings us, for the first time in a long time, into the New Testament during our Sunday school conversations. We'll talk about how it is that John the Baptist's birth is foretold, how it is it comes about. Why is it so important that we hear the story of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ, not the Christ himself? Of course, Luke tells us this story, and that's where we'll head in our Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker right after the break.
A Savior Who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Edie Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.